down.
About a fist distance from your face before someone says it in the fucking comments.
You're worse than me.
Goddamn Rogan clones in the comments.
Yeah. Not one of those.
Repeating, just mate, repeating shit that people that they've heard.
A couple of
As a general.
I've bitten on a couple of bits recently. Have you? I've not said anything, but some.
There was a guy that was really upset.
There's
the
one
day.
Guy, bro. He's a
him and his dog.
He's a knob. He is a knob.
Is he? Yeah.
He's had nothing positive to say in a year.
Well, maybe nothing positive happens to him. So,
no.
Therefore.
Well, it's because he's a knob.
Sorry. Welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast. Officially started.
We're on.
Go on. Now you
we
can do your
on.
Thing.
All right. Yeah. So, today.
You're right?
Yeah. Bit
of a,
good.
Bit of a delay.
No,
yeah.
I was just checking that was on. That's all. Just seeing it was on. It's on.
It's on.
It's good, yeah.
It is
congratulations.
On. Yep.
It's good. I won't sip my tea right now. So today we're brought to you by us.
By us.
The Full Reptile
us,
Collective.
You and I.
Yes. We have.
Is this
up
the bit where I do my part?
Yeah, we'll just show them off because I think
people
they're really
have seen
cool.
this one. I wear this one every day now.
Yeah, that's cool. So that is part of our training t-shirt line. We have Full Reptile Martial Arts t-shirt. Show them the front.
Oh.
Or drape yourself in it, either way. You thought it'll do.
Hang on.
We also have a very similar t-shirt, but the boxing version of it. So we have martial arts and boxing, and we're looking at a Muay Thai one, aren't we?
We are. We're not looking at this. It's.
Well, I mean, what I mean is, we don't have them right now. We do have this. We are looking to bring them out pretty soon.
I have the white. You're going to make me unfold this and fold it again, aren't you? Fuck it, I'll do it. I'll do it for you guys. Wow. I'll do it for you guys.
Fuck, is that all right?
Look, we've got that in black and white.
Very cool.
Which is beautiful. And then we've got the boxing in navy blue and burgundy.
Yeah. Very cool.
Which you'll see on my Instagram.
Yeah, they're all over the place. And we also have our casual lifestyle range, which are 4reptileco.range.
I feel like we've got a fucking market store. Yeah.
And know what, mate? I'll do you a right deal.
I'll do you a deal, mate. Do you a deal.
Anyway, yeah, so jump on 4reptile.co.uk and come and have a look at our new training and lifestyle gear. It's very cool. We're pretty happy with that.
Nice esoteric hoodie you've got on there, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and our hoodies and our sweatshirts. By no means was that coordinated. That was genuine.
It was genuine, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. And C4 Energy.
And C4 Energy, yeah. Anybody in the US, we are brought to you also by our friends at C4 who have been supporting us for a little while now. If you jump on c4energy.com and use the code FULLREPTILE, you get 30% off your purchases. So go support them, and we will always be thankful for them supporting us. So yeah, go get it.
Wicked.
All good.
And a shout out to Ross Edgley.
Yeah.
For sending me a copy of his new book. Look at this dude.
Look at the state of him. He's shredded, isn't he? Fair play. That is some dedication. He seems like, I've never met him, but he seems like one of those dudes that whatever he sets his mind on, he's doing it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like no cake most of the time. No, he eats fucking loads,
doesn't
he?
Yeah, he eats though, but I think his energy expenditure is so much.
What do you reckon
what
do you reckon his calorie output is per day? Like on a regular training day when he's doing like 6 hours training with Thor.
It's like.
Trains with fucking Thor.
Yeah, man.
He trains with Thor. Like, I'm not even joking.
His name? Must be three to four. Hemsworth.
There you go.
Yeah. Couldn't do a Monday squad, though.
No. Not many people could.
Couldn't do a Monday squad.
Mate, no.
There's no way.
No.
We should get him down again. He's been down, hasn't he, in the cage with you, showing him a few little bits of
It wouldn't
did
take
he,
long.
Did he have a natural affinity to it? Did he enjoy it when he was
down? He's just got that natural body awareness. He's able to adapt it to whatever he does. I mean, you know, obviously, like, You need kind of some basic knowledge to be able to do anything in MMA or wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's not particularly instinctual. You do a lot of the incorrect things instinctually. So I reckon if you gave him 3 6-month training with Jimmy Warled, he'd be murdering people.
Wrecking people.
He'd be murdering people, yeah.
Yeah.
He's such a physical specimen. He's so aware of himself. He's so aware of what his physical capabilities are.
Yeah.
And completely denying his physical limitations as well.
Yeah, he has no interest in limits, does he?
No.
No. What weight is he? I wonder what weight he is.
I reckon he's 90 kilos. Yeah, I reckon he's about maybe 90, 95 kilos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calm down, Ross. Calm down. Get him back down.
Wicked, wouldn't it?
Crazy.
Get him down. Get Tim Sheaf over.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go.
They're my two picks. If I'm training two guys up from scratch, they're my two picks.
Yeah. Tim's got an incredible awareness of space and how his body moves and mechanics of movement in general, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to put a lid on the octagon to contain him.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun, yeah. Be some backflips involved for sure.
Where are we starting today?
With a sip of tea, that's where we're starting. So, Smith, Span Smith, Fight Night. But Bellator is also coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Phil Davis and Yoel Romero. I wonder how many people have made that face when they think about Yoel Romero.
Oh, man. Everyone that's received a phone call from a matchmaker going, right. Yoel Romero,
all good? Yeah. Yeah, sweet. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's coming up this weekend.
Did you find that photo, Jamie? You said you were going to... There was a photo of Yoel Romero at 205 pounds. Is he a monster?
Monstrous.
He's probably not 205 pounds. That's probably the weight he has to walk around at so he can make 205 pounds. So he's probably about 230.
Yeah. He's a big dude.
Tank. Phil Davis, though.
Yeah.
He's been on a specimen.
Yeah, he's been on a mad run. I think he's won 9 from 12 since he moved to Bellator, didn't he?
You know, the one thing I've always felt like Phil Davis was lacking was that like deep fight determination.
Mm.
You know, that point where, you know, when someone really starts to put it on him, where does he go from there?
Yeah.
And I don't know as Yoel Romero's got that. I don't know as he's got that anymore.
We've got two super athletes against each other here.
Yeah.
Oh, anymore? Do you think Yoel had it and he's just sort of like...
I don't know. I mean, you know, we always talk about his wrestling. We always talk about how good his wrestling credentials are and his experience, but we never really see him use it in the octagon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So now he's stepping over into Bellator against a guy that is also a good level wrestler, but a wrestler that sets a pace on people.
Mm.
You know, a wrestler that transitions from one takedown to the next. And I think Phil Davis is going to be able to take him down. I think Phil Davis should be able to maul him. Yeah.
He's the 18 bigger months athlete Yoel's anyway. Yoel's not fought in 18 months. Long time. Quite a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Nemkov's got his number, hasn't he? He's got Phil Davis's number, but he's the only one for a while.
But that's the point of difference with Nemkov. Like, so there's kind of a common little theme here, because I would say that Phil Davis and Ryan Bader are probably on that same side of the we're here to compete, not here to fight.
Yeah.
And Nemkov and Rumble Johnson are on the we're here to fight, not compete side of the spectrum. Like, obviously, Nemkov's a more technical striker. Rumble Johnson's a more devastating striker. Yeah. But their intention's the same. Whereas with Phil Davis, like with Ryan Bader, when he faced Rumble Johnson, he curled up in a ball.
Hmm.
He was holding a kimura from Mount Bottom.
Right.
Like, that's how scared he was in that fight.
Just to anchor himself.
Right.
Just keep that space.
Hold on to something.
Stop that space from developing.
Oh, shit. Look at the size of that monster.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Jeez. They should do the announcements like that. Yeah. They should completely black out the arena and just have a spotlight on him like that so he can roar as they say his name.
Yeah, it's too late for everyone to pull out one, isn't it?
Yeah. But then you look at Phil Davis and he's a specimen.
Yeah, he's just a different shape, isn't he?
But he's 6 foot two, he's got a 79-inch reach.
He's a beast.
His record's 22-6. I mean, half of his fights a decision. You know he can maul people over 5 rounds. I think he's gonna outwork Yoel Romero.
With Eric Del Fiero, is that where he's at? Or has he moved?
He's at Alliance.
Coach Eric. Yeah.
Yeah. Division One All-American as well.
Of course he is. Yeah, it should be a bit of fun anyway. Mm. And as we always say, I'm looking forward to be able to watch that on the BBC.
Yeah, man.
How good.
Love it. Well done, Bellator. Well done, Bellator. Okay. Well done. Go on then.
Right.
Go on then. Are we starting with the Spitfire? It's a good nickname, that is. Emily Spitfire Whitmire.
Yeah. When I actually got to that.
Are you confused?
No, I'm not confused. I was just wondering why.
Well, is apart that not where we're going?
I was wondering why that nickname, apart from the rhyming part of it.
Well, you know, Spitfire. What do you think of
when
you think of
Spitfire? My granddad flew a Spitfire in the World War.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah, and survived.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool, actually.
My great-granddad was a bomber.
Yeah.
He flew a bomber, yeah.
Yeah.
Have I not shown you that photo?
They're probably supporting each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what's going on.
Probably. Probably. No, your granddad was keeping him off my great-granddad's back.
Yeah. Exactly. That's basically what I do.
I keep
you off other people's back. We've swapped the roles around. Yeah. Hannah Goldie and Emily Whitmire.
Emily Whitmire.
Yeah.
Is that Rain?
That is really loud.
It is really loud, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to get up and switch it off then. Switch the rain off. I think Emily McMahon's actually quite good, but she's had quite a couple of tough losses, hasn't she? Pollyanna Viana, she set up a beautiful, like, you know, we talk about distracting people from what you're trying to do. So she was hammering in those elbows as she set up that armbar, didn't she? She was good. So Emily's coming out of Syndicate with John Wood. So she's, you know, she's from good stock. She's well trained. Yeah. I just think she's
trained with GIF as well. Yeah,
it's not unlucky. You know what I mean? She's not been unlucky. She just had a bit of a. She had a tough couple of results, didn't she?
Yeah. I think we see this in all divisions. Like there are some guys. There are some guys further up the card that are in this similar situation in their division too.
Yeah.
You know, where a fighter, they'll kind of find their level where you know, they're within the UFC, but they're not quite able to bridge that gap. I mean, you know, if you look at the people that she's lost to, Modafferi, Robertson, Hibas, and Viana. I mean, aside from Hibas, they're all good grapplers. I mean, Hibas is a good grappler as well, but she's more of a striker anyway. She lost to her by Renee Kicho. It's like, the thing is, she's not... She doesn't excel anywhere, so when she's outmatched in one range, she usually can't stop it happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I think this is a different fight. I think the point of difference here is that Hannah Goldie's probably not going to be as quick. She's going to be a bit easier to read because she is quite stiff and quite muscular. And I don't know if Hannah Goldie's necessarily going to have the grappling skills, although she still might try and ground it, which might take it into Emily Whitmire's range.
I think Whitmire's got it. The only it's weird that Hannah is, obviously she's quite, you know, she's pretty jacked and she's kind of stiff. Apart from that lead leg snap kick, which you wouldn't expect from someone that you perceive as being stiff, but then she flicks that lead leg up super fast. It's the only way I can really see her sort of catching Emily.
But the stiffness is not a lack of flexibility. You know what I mean? Like it's a technical issue. Like she's not relaxed in what she's doing. She just looks physically tense when she's punching, which then kind of a bit like Marvin Vettori, like restricts their ability to twist and turn.
There's no real flow, is there?
Uh-uh.
I mean, Hannah's, you know, she's tough. She doesn't necessarily, she doesn't really put people away. She has got a TKO over Vanessa Grimes, I think, but other than that, she's a bit of a decision. She's a decision machine. So
Emily.
Hannah.
Yeah.
I can't see her putting her away. You know, she's going to... She's quite tough. She's took some damage and gone all right, but she's just a bit she's mechanical and she's tough. And I think Emily's probably got enough to enough broader skill set to get one over on her.
Yeah.
Other than if she lands that snap high kick and catches are coming in or something, I could see that happening. But it's Whitmire for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think she'll opt to stay standing, and I think she'll start beating Hannah Goldie to the punch, being a bit quicker and a bit looser, and then Goldie will clinch and then take it into a submission for Whitmire.
Yeah, nice. Like it.
Yeah, good start to the card though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gustavo Lopez and
Alateng Haley.
Yeah.
So Haley's last fight was against Casey Kenny, and he got the fuck beaten out of his body,
didn't he?
Like it was, like I was sitting there and I kept taking my headphones off so I could listen to it real time. Like,
ooh. Ooh. Yeah,
like oh, it was such a slapping, and it started to bruise and redden straight away. I mean, he's incredibly tough.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. Gustavo Lopez is the same. I think this is a very evenly matched fight. I think these two guys kind of occupy a similar space in the division. They're a bit undersized. They're not under enthusiastic.
When Lopez fought Yanez, he was sort of going all right, but he played into his hands a little bit. And it seemed like Yanez sort of halfway through that fight sort of went, got him. I get him. I've just sort of figured him out here. And he just waited and he was quite precise, wasn't he? And then I think he caught him maybe with a right hand and dropped him.
He's a mini Masvidal, isn't he, Yanez?
Yeah. But Alateng's, he's very, very good all-rounder, isn't he?
Just,
I think it's going to be a great fight. I think if Haley wants to fall back on his wrestling, he's got a solid wrestling game. He could probably put Lopez on his back.
I mean, he was able to outwork Ryan Benoit and Dana Baccaro.
Yeah. Like he's had all decisions since he's come to the UFC, but on the domestic scene before he sort of made it to the big show, he was finishing people most of the time.
Yeah.
It's just that the boys the are bigger just now. Jumped. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the boys are bigger. Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that Alateng Haley brought to his fights before he joined the UFC was his physicality.
And now it's
and
just,
I think that's kind of matched now. Yeah. Yeah. It's more standardized.
Yeah. That'd be quite an adjustment to make, you know, if you were just outdoing everyone physically. You know, you sort of know what it's like. Don't you? You can get away with stuff that you can't get away with if it's equal.
That's why I look at these guys on the regional circuit and they're talking, oh, yeah, one day UFC. I'm like, dude, you're already geared up now.
Yeah.
Like, where's your psychology going to be at when you're on USADA and you're getting tested all the time? You have to stop. You step into the UFC, like, knowing full well you're not the person that you were on the local circuit. I see it all the time. Like you've already screwed yourself mentally. Yeah.
Slippery slope in it. Any time you're dependent on something for you, the perception of who you are, and then you take that away, it takes a lot to come back from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
don't do it.
Yeah. We've spoke about multiple times about even in sort of in society when you're using drugs to make yourself feel good. And then you take that away, and then you have serious problems.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, by the way, we're not linking this conversation to this fight in any way. No, we're not suggesting that.
No.
But sometimes people get through their regional scene by being more physical, and then when they get to the UFC, the level is automatically just raised anyway.
Yeah.
I think this is an evenly matched fight. I don't really have an opinion either way. I think Alateng Haley's probably going to be able to outwork him. He's a bit of a faster pace, and he's a bit more.
The only thing worrying about Lopez is he didn't really, when he fought Yanez, he didn't change anything up. He just kept throwing the same, not the same combinations as such, but he threw the same game plan at him, and he wasn't making much progress, and he just sort of stuck with it. It didn't seem like there was another aspect to his planning. And I think Haley maybe has that ability. Like, he could change up if he wanted to.
Yeah. Is he karate background, I think, Lopez?
Right.
He stands quite long, and I think that, it leaves his head on the center line a lot of the time, whereas Yanez is a bit more up on his toes and boxing.
Hmm.
Like, I think Haley, if he catches him a couple of times with those kicks, Haley's going to have learnt from that fight against Casey Kenney, and he's going to start sprinting over him.
Yeah.
And the other thing as well is, if you look at Gustavo's record, the majority of his wins are first round. So then you wonder what happens when it gets past the first round, and how does he start
deep,
to feel when he's maybe lost the first round and.
Yeah, and like we said, Haley goes to decision a lot of the time.
He's incrementing
15 minutes at a time every time he competes. Mm. So he's comfortable there, isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah.
Which way?
I got Haley.
Is he a Performance Institute? He is, isn't he?
I think so. There's a couple of them on. I think he is.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he was in that session that I taught when I was
right,
there.
Nice.
Okay, so we're going to Alateng Haley, right?
Yeah, Haley. Yeah.
Impa Kasanganai against Carlston Harris.
Yeah. Tough.
Kasanganai's got that
tough for
Terry Etim curse, hasn't he? You can't hear his name and you go, oh shit, that kick.
He's had two solid wins.
Yeah.
Pitolo and Palatnikov, like they're good, two solid good wins, but it's just.
Yeah. No, Pitolo was, oh yeah, yeah, sorry, yeah, but not since that knockout.
No, not since, yeah, but you know, since he's been in the UFC, they're two good solid wins that you'd be happy with in your first three.
For sure.
But then it just gets over. It just gets written over by that KO by Buckley, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But there you go. You know, he's back on the wagon, and he's got a win since then. He's super athletic. He's very... It sounds a little bit weird, but he's muscular in a good way. It doesn't seem like it's wasted. Like, he's very bouncy. He's got very good tension in his tendons. It could be a tough night for Carlston. I think he can outmaneuver him, but there is a very good chance that Carlston will wrap him up with something, because he's got very long arms. He's got a very nice Darcy and Anaconda, isn't he?
Yeah.
We'll just see if he can get him into a position to do that. He's awkward, Carlston, isn't he? Like, I watched him last night. He's got some awkward little tendencies about him, but enough to sort of throw you off and He wrapped up Aguilera real fast, didn't he, with that anaconda?
Real fast. Yeah. And he was like, eyes open,
out,
unconscious.
Out, in, out, out, in, out, yeah. Out, out,
out. You're definitely right, though. You could see him kind of going out of consciousness and then coming back in. The referee then, kept fucking with his arm, and sometimes it had tension, and other times it was... Difficult one for the referee, that one, to read in that position. But that's what I was talking about with anacondas.
Yeah.
Like, if that was a darce, that would have been...
gone.
Game over.
Yeah.
Game over.
Just a little bit more space, right, as we were saying.
A bit more space, a bit more hanging on. Hmm. Like, we saw it in that Angela Lee fight a little while ago as well, where she got the anaconda standing and tripped and wrapped.
Hmm.
Same with Brian Ortega against Diego Brandão. Snapped him down, wrapped him up into an anaconda, took him to the floor, but then ended up taking, like, a mounted triangle position from it because he couldn't finish it.
Who did the darce off the fence the other day we talked about?
Darce off the fence.
He, like, they were standing, and as they came down, he sort of dropped into a darce and finished it. I can't remember. Maybe it was last week. I can't remember. Oh, Arosa. It was Arosa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just fast, isn't it? It comes on real fast.
Yeah, it does. How tall is Carlson Harris? Oh, yeah, no, he's only an inch taller, an inch longer.
But he looks long. He looks long.
Yeah, he does. He just kind of stands kind of...
Yeah, tall and, I don't know if they stand.
Kasanganai's striking outputs. Yeah, no, he does look taller than that. Yeah. Kasanganai stands kind of longer and more hunched as well. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
I think input, with a caveat that there's a chance he's going to get wrapped up with a choke.
You can't have a caveat. That's not how it works.
No, I think I'd like. I think I like Kasanganai in here.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, though. It's tough because Carlson is that awkward that he could cause a bit of an upset because of, you know, the angles that he does create, and of course that he does have those couple of subs that he can slap on real quick.
Yeah,
but I think I'll take Kasanganai.
Okay.
Yeah.
In which case I'll take Carlson Harris by darce choke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna be even more specific than you.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I understand what you're saying. I just wonder whether my thought process is this, for that making that prediction, is that Kasanganai, although he's come back and got a win since that knockout's still prevalent in his mind because it's in every highlight reel under the sun at the moment. Yeah. So it's going to be in the forefront of his mind. So that might encourage him to grapple when probably the best route to winning is to be moving and in and out and striking. Mm-hmm. But he might just not want to risk that against Carlson Harris. He might decide he wants to take him down and run straight into a darce choke.
Yeah.
And there's a couple on Harris's records, darce chokes.
That can't be a decision, that fight. Surely someone's finishing that fight.
You cursed it now.
That's the curse. Boom.
Now it's going to be Kasanganai.
Put your money on it. I'll put your money on a decision.
Okay. So we're going opposite ways then.
Yeah. All right. Wicked. I like it. All right. Erin Blanchfield. Erin. And Sarah Alpar.
Yes. So Alpar's 1-1 in the UFC, is she? She was the one that got that knee to the head when she was down against Jessica Rose Clark, right? Did she get kneed? And then it was like a question as to whether...
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was a good fight, actually.
As to whether she was down and she actually wasn't.
I thought Jess was good in that fight.
She
as
was
well.
Good, yeah.
She was very good. She looks very strong in that fight.
Much more of a Muay Thai game in that fight to what she would normally do.
Yeah.
And that knee to the body, but then that was where the confusion was with the referee and stuff. And
yeah, she's a bit Alpar's. She's wrestling dominant, right? She's probably gonna try and clinch this up and work her wrestling game. But
I think so. But this is Blanchard's UFC debut, isn't it?
Yeah, but she's come through a bit, hasn't she? She's only dropped one against Tracy Cortez, who's, you know, that was a split decision
as well. And I think I've watched that. I feel like she's been matched up before on a card that I've researched for.
Right.
And
she's young, isn't she? Erin Blanchard was like 20. I think she's 21.
Yeah, no, I think I was supposed to have called that Dumont fight where the bout was cancelled because Dumont missed weight.
Okay. She won the EBI tournament.
Mm.
Like a couple of years ago, maybe.
Who Blanchard did?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. She's very, very accomplished grappler. I think.
Did you see that head kick against Victoria Leonardo in Victor? She pushed her, like, backed her up against the fence, and as she circled off, she just threw a snapping high, kind of like what's his name, who's on the card, Enchikui.
Yeah.
How he did it in his contender series fight as they circled away, lead high kick.
Beautiful.
Knocked her out. Well, knocked it, just dropped her on the spot, caught her right at the side of the head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, she's a Henzo Gracie from New York. That's where she trains. She trains grappling there.
Okay.
And I just think if Alpar comes in, puts a wrestling game on it and gets her on her back, that's not exactly favorable to her. I think Alpar's going to go after it. I think Blanchfield's going to go after it if she puts her on her back.
Yeah.
Now, whether she can cause some damage in the transition from the fence to the floor and what have you, that'll be there to see. But I think in the two of the three areas, Erin's probably got the advantage. I think striking, she's actually very accomplished, and when she gets on the floor, I think she'll back herself.
Nice.
Yeah. So the middle bit is the only question mark, but I've got Blanchfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Same. Yeah, I think Blanchfield takes it.
She's good, man. I like her. I think she'll be.
I think Alpar's just a little bit. She's a bit unathletic and a bit predictable. Mm. Is my concern for her, and I think she might be there to get beaten up on the outside, and then when she's closed distance, because she's getting beaten up, she's running into a game that's at least competitive with hers.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, right. Lock Blanchfield in.
Wicked.
Montel
Jackson against JP Bayes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to refuse to say it?
I don't know how that is Bayes.
I don't.
Oh, South Africa. They say he's South African.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is an accent thing.
Maybe it's an accent thing. He got caught. I think maybe last time out, Bruno Silva, right hand over the top.
Yeah.
And dropped him good.
Yeah. But Silva was having a good time in there all the way through, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he had his number a little bit, didn't he?
And that, was that his? I think it was Bruno's first win in the UFC as well.
Right.
And then the other thing with Bayes as well is he came off that kind of weird guillotine finish against the fence, didn't he, in the contender series, where the referee stopped it, and immediately Silva was like,
"What the fuck?
Why have you stopped it?"
Yeah, he'd had a decent run, but pre-UFC, Bayes had a decent run.
Yeah,
put some wins together. Mm-hmm. But is he 5'5"?
Is that what it says?
I think he's 5'5". 5'5".
That's what it says on his Tapology.
And
Montel Jackson's like 6'1". Is he sitting here? Is he 5'10"? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
look at the reach advantage. There's an 8-inch reach advantage for Montel.
That's a lot of distance, isn't it?
It is. Southpaw the orthodox.
But I think Montel's fast too. Like he's got some twitch to him.
Yeah.
And
but then if he gets closed down, you know, that's the thing. Is like everyone talks about height and reach as an advantage. It's only an advantage if you're at distance.
Mm.
You know, if you get closed down, you fold up like a deck chair up against the fence.
Yeah.
Your limbs become a bit cumbersome.
Yeah. Montel lost to Brett Johns, but he didn't. You know, that wasn't a complete shutout. He had some. He had some success in that fight. I'd sway that way.
Yeah.
I'd sway towards Jackson. I thought he had some good stuff. And Brett Johns is, you know, he's a solid dude.
Yeah.
He might just have a little bit too much for Bayes.
And you know, and he's got a win over Kelleher as well.
Hmm.
He went to a decision with Kalaris and Sukumta, and that last fight as well against Strada. You know. Right hook to ground and pound.
I like the look of him. I thought he was good. I liked his bounce. I like how athletic he was. And combine that with his sort of long limbs and that ability to create space with his limb length. It'll be interesting to see.
And he's much more of a known commodity. I still feel like JP Bayes, like we still have not kind of
understand who
he
is.
Yeah, I just don't know what we know of him. Like I think the loss to Bruno Silva. I mean, although it was a competitive fight up to that point, like Bruno Silva was not a killer going into that fight. I'm sure that was his, let me just check. I'm sure that was his first win in the UFC. Yeah, it was. He lost two. He lost two. Yeah. Bit undersized for the weight class. I don't know. Yeah, I think Montel does it. I think Montel does it. I think he's a skilled long range fighter that uses his long limbs to be able to, you know, wrap people up, darses, anacondas, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like him. I like him.
I think a lot of these fights on this card, they're a bit chaotic. Like this next one, Dakota Bush against Zhu Rong, it's a bit of a chaotic fight again. Like Dakota looked really good before his UFC debut, and then he really struggled against Austin Hubbard.
Yeah. Yeah, he did, didn't he? He's quite big, isn't he, for the weight class?
Maybe that's part of his problem.
Yeah, quite athletic though.
I was impressed with Zhu Rong's striking, like hanging back, long range southpaw, like picks his shots. He looked like he had good striking fundamentals. It looks like he uses his feet well. 17-4 as well. He's got a decent amount of experience.
He's 21. And he's had 17-4 at 21. It's quite impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Like, he's been going. They call him the Phenom at the Institute.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, he won the combine at 18, and then he came back the next year and won it again. But I think the last time he fought was the time where the coaches couldn't get in.
Oh, is that right? And against Vargas, Rodrigo Vargas, yeah, who's a bit of a maniac, isn't he?
I'm not sure if that's 100% right, but I think the last time they came over, there was like four of the Institute guys on the card, and none of the coaches could get visas.
Is that right? His first fight in the UFC was the Usman Masvidal 2 card.
Right.
So maybe it's not the same fight. I think that was Jacksonville. I think it was Jacksonville because they had a crowd there.
Okay. Maybe it's not then. It was a different. Maybe it's him. But he's from the same. So he's at the Institute now, but he's from the same gym as Song Yadong was and Sumaderji as well.
Right.
In Tibet.
Like, he's got almost all stoppages coming into the UFC. And it's like variety as well. Like, his last loss, he lost by triangle back in 2018. And since then, he's what?
Just killed it.
Knockout, retirement, guillotine, rear naked choke, knockout, decision, knockout, arm triangle, knockout, knockout.
I think this might be one of the fights of the card.
Yeah, I
think
it's
two very good athletic guys coming together, and it'll be fireworks, I think.
Yeah.
I think I've got Zhu, I think
Zhu's gonna
come through here.
I agree.
I think this might be his time. That is a lot of experience for a 21-year-old, isn't it? I suppose in MMA, like, if you look at other combat sports, it's not necessarily crazy, is it? But in MMA, that's a lot of experience.
It is. It's a lot for that age.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fights to get in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Because most people don't turn pro until they're 18.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's why Rod Tang's record's 250 fights, because his first pro fight was when he was four. 8 years old. Yeah. So, it's, you know, technically he's been pro since then.
It's mad, isn't it?
Crazy.
Madness.
Crazy.
Yeah, I got wrong Zhu, yeah.
Yeah. Zhu wrong
Which way? I don't know. Whichever way you want to go with it.
Either way. Nate Maness against Tony Gravely. This is another banger on the card.
Nate had a tough debut against Johnny Munoz Jr., didn't he?
Yeah. He struggled all the way through that fight.
And then turned it.
But then there was a point deduction, wasn't there, for a groin shot?
Yeah, right.
Start the third round. And that, I think, I mean, I know it was a unanimous decision, but it could have swung that way. And you saw Munoz right at the end of the fight. He was like,
yeah.
Like, of course. I mean, in his defense, Munoz did more wrestling than fighting.
Mm.
And in Nate Maness's defense, he did more defending, wrestling, and striking than he did anything else. Like, he was always trying to hit, always trying to work, even when he was, you know, he was being controlled. So, I mean, I guess that's, with the new scoring criteria, that's how it would have swung in his direction. But obviously the point deduction helped. But that rear naked choke over Luke Sanders was beautiful.
Yeah.
And Sanders is a handful.
He's good, man. The only thing I thought, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he's a bit in and out in straight lines. And he'll come out in a straight line until he finds the fence. And I think with someone like Tony, it might make him pay for that on the third, fourth, or fifth part of the combo.
Yeah,
he'll just follow him and catch him at longer range. I think Tony's last fight, he traded that leg kick with a right hook, or maybe it was a left hook.
Left hook.
Left hook, and Berchak, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Traded that leg kick with a left hook and just dropped him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's giving up. Is he giving up 5 inches in height?
He always does, though, doesn't he? But he makes up for it with his ability to cover distance quickly, because he's always mobile.
He's got a fast twitch on his shot too, hasn't he? Real fast.
Yeah, good level change. I mean, what was the fight that he had where he got stung? Like, he got caught with a shot and level changed immediately. And it was like just reactionary to shoot a takedown, and he got a good body.
I don't know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know what fight it was.
I can't remember.
Yeah. I just think, maybe Nate seems to start late. Like, like the first round, it's not great for him, and he sort of warms up into it and almost needs to take a bit of damage before he sort of wakes up and gets to the point. And I think Gravely might take this one early.
Yeah. This one's right high up on UFC stats, but low down on the Tapology card. I was just trying to find it. Yeah, there's a 5-inch height advantage for Nate Maness. and a 3-inch reach advantage.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But like you say, especially with Gravely's sort of double leg and his shots, that might, you know, he might get under him, put him on his back. And
yeah. I mean, he's got to time it well. He's got to time it well. I'm just looking at the stats here. Nate Manessa's takedown defense, 88%.
Oh, okay.
Should be a good one. It's another one of those back and forth, evenly matched fights.
Yeah.
There are a lot of coin toss fights on this card. And this is one of them. I'm leaning towards Gravely.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards Gravely just because I think, I mean, he's got a decent bit more experience.
Oh, we're agreeing on a lot of stuff today. It's very unlikely.
Are we? Or are you just waiting until
I've already said it. I said Gravely early.
Did he say that?
Gravely early. Gravely early.
Gravely.
Now you'll wait on all of them. Now you'll wait on the rest of them and pick the opposite. Yeah, I got Gravely early. I think Nate's just too slow a start and he might get capitalised early.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
This next one I'm looking forward to. I think this is going to be...
Kianzad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raquel Pennington, Pani Kianzad. So Kianzad trains over at Artiswab with Mads and Demir Hadjovic.
She's streaking at the minute, isn't she?
Yeah,
she's four on the bounce.
Yeah. She's got really good striking. Yeah. She's, I mean, obviously, lots and lots of decisions on her record, but good, consistent striking skills. Her grappling's coming up as well. I expect this one to be a kickboxing match.
Yeah.
I mean, Raquel Pennington is a boxer wrestler. So if anybody decides to take this one down, I think it will be Pennington.
Mm.
But I think these two are just going to stand and trade. And I think the point of difference is that Pennington will feel like she's going to be able to hit a bit harder.
Okay.
I don't know why I say that, but she looks like she sits down and her punches a bit more.
Yeah.
Like Kianzad is, she's fast and she lands good combinations and she's very slick.
She's not doing much damage with it.
No.
Raquel's tough to put away. She hasn't, in recent times anyway, the only finish was Amanda Nunes who finishes motherfuckers.
And that was fifth round.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, not like she was rolled over.
The only thing I thought is Kianzad does beat her for speed. She's like watching the tempo of the two of them. She's definitely quicker than her.
Yeah.
It's just whether you can do enough damage with that speed or.
Yeah, and I think Pennington's good at. I think she's quite. I don't know. She's just got a good boxing mindset. Like you can see her looking for counters as people are coming in. Like Holly Holm kept her at a distance. You know, it wasn't like those two had a boxing match. It was Pennington that was wanting to close
Holly
the distance
down.
Holly
was just a bit too much for her, wasn't she?
Yeah, but she is.
She's for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be close. I think it will be a big statement for Kianzad if she wins this.
It's a massive opportunity for her. I've not actually got the rankings pulled up. I should.
Pennington's not in them anymore. I don't think.
Is she not?
I don't think so.
When was her last fight?
I swear I had a look earlier.
I feel like it's been a while since. Her record just doesn't reflect how good she is either.
She's
11 and 8.
She's fought all the tough girls in that division, isn't she?
Yeah, she's not fought this year. Renault, middle of last year.
Yeah.
It's been a little while.
Bantamweight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kianzad is at 12.
And she fought in June.
Yeah.
It's been a while since Pennington's been in there.
Yeah.
She's been healing up. She's been injured.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me have a look at the rankings. She's not in the rankings anymore, then,
say?
That's not good, is it?
No.
Where are we? No, she's not. And Kianzad's at number 12.
Kianzad at 12, yeah.
But it's the respect of the name of Raquel Pennington.
Hmm.
You know, anybody above Kianzad in the rankings is going to know. If she gets a good win over Pennington, they're going to be like, okay, all right, fair enough.
I think it's a massive statement for Kianzad if she can win this.
Yeah.
And it'll be another solid win. Yeah. You think Pennington, don't you?
I think it is. I think it's a really close fight. I think the downside to Pennington's game is that she kind of waits for the fight to come to her a little bit. Like, she's got decent footwork, but she never really puts a foot on the gas and chases people down. Mm. And I think Kianzad might, even if she is
came
being
out flying.
Pressured.
I don't know if it was the last one or the one before, but Kianzad came straight across the octagon and through, and then she settled.
Yeah.
But she was clearly sort of like making a point. Might have been the Alexis Davis fight, I'm not sure. But she like flew across and threw like six punches and then sort of settled into a bit of a different rhythm. But
yeah,
I'm backing speed.
I'm agreeing with you. I think Raquel Pennington's a real hurdle if she shows up and she's, you know, she's, I mean, it's only three rounds as well, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, Pennington's been doing five rounders for a bit.
Yeah, if I'm, you know, if you're in Kianzad's camp, you're not saying this, but you're thinking this is a really important fight. You win this and suddenly you're on a five-fight win streak against some people with some good names. Raquel Pennington's the hell of a name to get on your record, and then, you know, you're going to start being able to get those middle to top of the ranking fights and make some money.
Yeah, I think Kianzad.
Yeah, nice. Good fight.
Sweet. Yeah, good fight. Really good fight.
The Don.
Mike Rodriguez against Tafon Enchiqui.
Yeah, Tafon the Don.
See, Rodriguez is an Emily Whitmire of the light heavyweight division.
Better than you think.
Like, kind of finds his limit and keeps hitting his head on the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good Thai boxer.
We see this a lot, don't we? We see this a lot. There's guys that are just probably not going to be top 10.
No.
But they're good, solid 10 to 20, you know, ranked fighters.
I mean, like, if you look at the fights that Mike Rodriguez has won, like when he fought Milstead or Praknyao, and you see his Muay Thai, you see his knees and his elbows, you're like, okay, this is where this guy's good.
Yeah.
But and you know, the thing is, he's training with Joe Lozon. Like, his ground game is going to be coming up. But you've got to think, I mean, well, first of all, he should have won that fight against Ed Herman.
Yeah.
That was a knee to the stomach, so that should technically be a TKO win for him, because Herman went down. But he lost that one by Kimura, and then he lost his next one to Marquez by rear naked choke.
Mm.
Like, he lost to Darren Jung by right cross, because Darren,
Is that it tough?
I
think it might be tough for the Don. I think,
you reckon?
Yeah, because...
I mean, he was kind of teed up in his contenders fight, wasn't he?
Like, he doesn't move a massive amount. He's very, very durable, and he's, you know, obviously very, very solid, durable, and he sort of stays in the pocket and he's happy to sort of take a bit, to give a bit. But Rodriguez has those long range, like that spike knee he uses, and he's got some long range strikes, and mate, I don't know whether he can get off and get out of there and sort of poke and prod him from... I don't even know what came out there. Poke and prod him for afar and do a bit of damage and then land some heat on the body.
Yeah.
And go from there. I think he's probably the... I don't know what the odds are. I think he's probably the underdog, Rodriguez. But yeah, I think he might upset things a little bit.
Yeah. I hate to agree with you again, but I do think you're right. I do think you're right. I mean, Enchiqui is short and compact. He's going to be vulnerable for those knees. He says he's 6 foot tall here. 6'77". How tall's Rodriguez? Let me have a look. Let me pull this up. Rodriguez has got to be 6'3", right? 6'4". Yeah, okay. So there's a 5-inch reach advantage and a 4-inch height advantage for Rodriguez. So he's going to be the taller, longer guy.
He fights long as well.
He does. He's a southpaw, so he's got that power body kick.
Yeah.
The other thing as well is he's got to be careful not circling towards the lead leg of Enchiqui, but then that's going to circle him towards the power rear hand. So it's like he's got to keep it at a distance in order to stay safe from that power. This is at the apex as well, right?
Yeah, right.
So he's going to be in that little tiny cage.
Yeah.
My concern is that he gets backed up against the fence and Enchiqui just closes him down and starts clubbing him. Because there's not really much of a threat from Rodriguez once you've clinched him and taken him down.
No.
Like, if he's able to keep some space and he can land elbows and knees, he's real dangerous.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, the Don has some serious power, doesn't
he?
He definitely needs to be, that's a consideration for Rodriguez. Yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be one of them, won't it? It'll be a long on the outside and picks him apart, or Tafon gets inside and wrecks him with those cannonballs hands he's got.
Yeah. I'm going to go Rodriguez with a knee to the body.
Yeah.
A knee to the body that's not passed as a groin strike. I do feel bad for him. They should have appealed that, really.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't.
I don't know. I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah, maybe. I would have appealed it, I think, because it's like, I mean, you can see in the replay it was a clear knee to the body.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make an argument that it caught the groin either.
No.
But yeah.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Are we agreed again?
Mike Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is a weird one.
And a weird place on the card as well. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but then there's another fight further up as well, the Motta Van Camp one, which I think is in an odd fight. Although I think it's going to be an absolute barn burner. But this one's an odd one. So like Joaquin Buckley, to me, is an undersized middleweight. Are you on a different one?
Yeah, talking about a completely different fight.
Which one are you talking about?
Manny Bomb and Lipsky.
Oh, right.
I don't know why that's in. What order are you? Yeah. Are you on Topology?
I'm on Topology, yeah. Hmm. Which one are you
on? I reordered it earlier from Topology, but never mind.
Shall I refresh? Is it going to be different?
Yeah, maybe.
Refresh?
Buckley and Ayoro. How are you saying that?
We're going to say it just like you just said it there.
Well, what are you saying?
What did you say?
No, you say it.
What did you say?
Well, no, you gave the all-knowing look. If you give the all-knowing look, that means you have to give the answer.
It's Arroyo. Ahoyo. Ahoyo, because he's Brazilian.
Ahoyo.
Yeah, so Joaquin Buckley looks like he's at the bottom end of the size for the division. Kind of like Darren Stewart. I always felt like he was kind of small for it.
He's so thick
small and
that
thick.
He gets his weight from the thickness and then he's too small.
But then Ahoyo looks like he should be a light heavyweight. He looks massive.
Yeah. But yeah, they're the opposites of each other, aren't
right?
He's quite thin and tall.
But then in Ahoyo's last fight, he fought Darren Wynn, who's like 5'8".
Yeah. That, and
5'6", I thought I misread that.
He was like relentless, wasn't he?
Yeah, you
just
have to
absolutely relentless, like a terrier.
How else are you going to make a fight out of it?
Yeah.
He keeps prodding you with those
long
arms. Fair
dude, man, he's fucking good. He's got some serious wrestling, hasn't he?
He has. Although Ahoyo's got shorter arms than I expected.
Right.
Like check this out. So Joaquin Buckley's 5'10", and Ahoyo's 6'3".
Yeah.
And Joaquin Buckley's got a 3-inch reach advantage, 76 compared to 73. 73 inches for 6'3". That's really short, isn't it?
Basically a T-Rex.
That's, I mean, like you, like average welterweight arm length is 75.
Yeah.
I'd say that's a lightweight arm length.
I just think power's probably the difference, isn't it? He just doesn't seem to have that much power, really, whereas obviously Buckley's got heaps of it.
But then does he just get kind of prodded backwards and not get into the fight?
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
Does he get frustrated on the end of a jab like he did against Kevin Holland? You know what I mean? Just kind of getting picked and just...
Picked and prodded.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you've got to think he's coming off that knockout loss to Dicharico.
Yeah, that made me think Dicharico was going to beat Al Hassan based off that performance, and then that did not go well, did it?
No.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Which way are you going?
I think Buckley.
Do you? I'm going the opposite way.
You're going the other
one.
Way.
Yeah, I'm going
I think
way.
Buckley. I think the power might be the difference.
Yeah. I think the reason I'm going for... I do agree that there is a difference in power, but he's got to be able to hit him.
Yeah.
He's got to be able to get close to him. And I feel like Hoyo's going to look taller and longer. He's going to be able to stalk him from the center and keep prodding him. And Buckley's going to be in his head about that head kick.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was a beautiful head kick, to be fair.
It was. And even though the guy might have a shorter reach, statistically, he's going to feel like he's a taller guy because he's, what,
like
5 inches taller.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm taking Ahoyo.
Nice.
Lightning doesn't strike twice. He's already had the Kasanganai knockout.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. Right, where are we at off your list?
Yagos against Sarukian.
Oh god, I love
go on.
It.
Go on. Have your little celebration of Sarukian.
The fight, I was saying in the gym the other day, weren't we? The fight with Makachev on his debut. It was so much fun. Watching that back the other day, I was like, oh shit. Like, not enough people have watched this fight.
No.
Like, if you like wrestling or grappling in any way at all, you just put this on repeat for a couple of days. It's unbelievable. On his debut.
I know.
Fair play.
I know. What a horrible debut. But, you know, the standard was high for him when he stepped into the UFC. You know, he was... What did he pick up? A loss in his second fight. A 30-second first-round knockout. But aside from that, he's been just untouchable.
That's how you integrate grappling into MMA, isn't it?
Mate.
There was some, like... I felt like that level was, like, DJ... Henry Cejudo DC level shit wrestling.
Yeah.
Like that's where it was at. It was fucking so good. It was a beautiful I think Sorokin throws a knee and then Makachev sweeps him from the underhook, and I was like, oh shit, and then he does it again. I'm like, oh, you got caught twice. Shit. Yeah, it was great. And it was like, what, 1% cardio probably made the difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Like they were going at it. Not many people could hang with that pace, could they?
Well, that was the problem, is that because they're both so good.
Yeah.
They kind of, you can't really appreciate how good they are individually. Because of the comparison
against someone
with
who
one
doesn't
another.
Have that level of wrestling,
like if you see what Makhachev does to everybody, and you see what certainly what Sorokin did to Frivola, you know, you just think to yourself,
they're the hardest. That's the hardest even in training, when you train with someone that's pretty close to your level, they're the hardest rounds, because then you're like, you're going, you think you're going to get the edge, and then you know, if you just get like, if you smash someone or they smash you, it's like, oh, it's not that hard, really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
like
he's all over Giagos.
Yeah, Giagos has got some decent wrestling, isn't he? But he's not at that level.
Not at this level. He is good. Giagos is. I don't think he's got the decision to keep this one on the feet. And I think if he wins this fight, it's got to be on the feet.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's coming off that Darce choke of Soriano, but Soriano was in the wrong weight class, and he's not doing that to
Sorokin, no way.
Not unless he hurts him first, and he's got to do that with a strike.
Yeah, DC picked up on Christos in the commentary that he very, very rarely shoots from orthodox. He'll switch his stance, and then he'll shoot off that.
Right. And Sorokin.
Like, Giagos. Yeah.
He ain't shooting in this fight.
Nah. And Sorokin's going to pick up on that anyway, you know what I mean? He's not. You'd have seen it a million times. But yeah, I got
Sorokin all day.
Sorokin fanboy, to be honest. I'll go with him.
I know, he is very good. And, you know, three really respectable wins as well.
Yeah.
Oba Mercier, Hamos, and Frivola.
Yeah.
I don't think Giagos is a step up above guys. Yeah.
It's just a number on the record, isn't
it? For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
That'd be great. That'd be a great fight. I see him finishing him. Sorokin will finish him, I think.
You reckon? Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't know. I mean, I do. Giagos is tough, and he gets frustrated. And the more frustrated he gets, the more he tries. But I do think he will just get nullified.
Mm.
I think he'll get nullified. He'll get beaten up, and he'll be two steps behind Sorokin in the grapple.
Yeah.
Good fight though.
Cool, man. I like it.
Okay, Mandy Baum.
Yeah.
Against Ariane Lipsky.
I watched Bellator fights last night. I wasn't like necessarily overly impressed. She seems alright. She's quite aggressive. I just think Lipsky's just cleaner and crisper all over, really.
Yeah.
She's
been in the UFC for a while.
Yeah, a little
more
bit.
Experience. Yeah. A bit,
she's
coming off a couple of losses.
Yeah, whereas
I don't know if she's still I don't know whether it was her last fight against De La Rosa, like, I'm not sure which one. It must have been that last one. She looked to me like she was about to take her gloves off. Like she was done with it, yeah.
Well, how old is she?
No, she's not particularly old.
No, she's 27.
Yeah.
Just had enough.
I don't know. Sometimes you just... Like she had that beautiful knee bar.
It's got to be easier ways to make a living.
For sure. For sure. I mean, she had that really nice knee bar against Luana. But then... losing two by ground and pound, both at the end of the second round. It's like there's a tipping point for her, you know?
Mm.
And I like Mandy Baum seems like she's like militant in her work rate.
Yeah. She's riding high too. You know, she's coming off wins, whereas...
Undefeated, 7-0.
Yeah. Lipsy's coming off losses. There's a psychological element to it there. I do think physically Lipsky's sharper and crisper.
Yeah. I agree with that. It all swings on the psychology.
Psychology game plays in there. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about Mandy Baum.
No. I mean, like you said, I've watched the Bellator fights. I mean, that fight against Eckhart, she was able to hurt her in a few different ways with a few different things, you know, but particularly she was good at kind of prying space and hitting her with elbows and stuff. I think the psychology is the big part. I don't the level that she's been fighting at is not nearly as high as what Lipsky's been facing. You know, the stepping into the UFC for the first time, it can go one way or the other. You know, she could be stepping in like, I'm 7-0, I'm here, you're all in trouble.
Yeah.
And then absolutely put it on Lipsky, who's in that psychological swing state where she's coming off two losses.
Yeah.
This might be, if I lose this one, I'm retiring.
But I don't think we've seen Baum go in and do that before, have we? Like, just go at people and tear through people, it seems.
No, not really. I mean, she's got a couple of first round stoppages.
Yeah.
A couple of first round submissions as well. But she's militant in her work rate, and it's consistent across three rounds. Mm. She doesn't seem to slow down. Mm. She's training out of SBG Island as well. You know what I mean? So she'll have she was when she was in Bellator. I don't know whether she still is, but I was impressed with her. She's just a strong competitor. It all depends on whether Lipsky's kind of half out of her career already. Yeah. Like if in her head she's like, okay, we'll see how this fight goes, then Bomb's gonna murder her. But if Lipsky's like, I'm gonna prove to everybody I'm still in this, then that's a different version.
Come point to prove. I mean, everyone's got a point to prove in MMA, haven't they? But
yeah,
I'm going Lipsky. I'm going Bomb.
Yeah. I'm going Mandy Bomb. Okay.
Right.
This is the one that's a bit of an odd place on the card.
Okay.
I would have thought this one had been lower down because Motta's exciting, don't get me wrong, but he's like, a different place as well.
Right. I don't know what is going on here. Yeah, go on, carry on.
So, Motta's coming off a decision on the Contender Series. Now, most people don't get signed off a decision on the Contender Series.
That's the whole point of the Contenders, right? Right? You have to win.
I mean, and it wasn't that he wouldn't have stopped most people because it was like Lowry just took bombs. He got beaten up, he got his nose broken, and there were points where you're starting to think to yourself, well, is he going to get back into this fight? You know, the point is, though, Motta is, and I'm referencing this based on the Tapology fight card, which is normally pretty accurate, right?
Mm. Yeah, this seems the best one. That's why we use it.
Yeah. This seems high enough up on the card that it means that the UFC are expecting one of these guys to really take the reins and become a star.
Is this a replacement? This might be a replacement.
Van Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's stepping in for Hadjovic.
But this card's moved
around. No.
This card has moved around like loads.
Yeah. No, sorry. This was supposed to be Jim Miller against Van
Camp.
Yeah,
that's right. And he's got COVID, isn't he?
And then Motta was supposed to be fighting Hadjovic, and Motta got injured, and that was May. So Motta's basically, he pulled out of that fight against Hadjovic.
Got ya.
Has been waiting around for a new matchup. Now he's healthy, and Van Camp was supposed to be fighting Miller, and Miller's out due to COVID.
Got ya.
And now Van Camp's
just paired him together. Got ya.
And Van Camp's making his debut.
Yeah.
And they were putting him in his debut against Jim Miller. Now they're giving him this kid off the Contender Series who's, you know, exciting, high expectations of him.
Mm. He was all right. I watched a couple of his fights, Van Camp's fights, just on the domestic scene.
Did you watch his last couple? The one against Gaudreau?
The Dars.
Kenny Gaudreau, yeah. And the other one against Cyan? Like two quick submissions.
Yeah.
Like you can tell he's a bit of a superstar on that local circuit.
Yeah.
I don't know whether, I mean, he's got a decision win over Dan Stichen, who's a UFC vet, but he's also got a loss to Bobby Volker, who's also a UFC vet. So I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to see this fight because I think expectations must have been high for Van Camp if they were putting him in there against Jim Miller.
Yeah, right.
You know?
That's a tough debut.
For sure. And I think Motta's a tough debut as well.
Yeah. How many fights has Motta had?
He's 15-5.
Yeah.
No, sorry, 12-3. Van Camp's 15-5.
No one massively stands out in his record.
Whose?
On Motta.
No.
Not really. It's not like he's, you know, come across some killers along the way, is it?
No, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of people with like one loss on their record and a few wins.
Yeah.
He's beaten a few veterans, but guys of records are like 17 and 16. But it's just, I mean, it's his style that's appealing and dangerous. You know, he's got that kind of John Lineker, like carries his hands a bit like kettlebells, you know?
yeah.
You're good, Jamie. Looking at the camera concerned, I'm like, oh shit, is the battery dead?
Oh no. He's been subbed. Well, not for a while, though. He has been subbed, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And grappling, he's been subbed.
But then Motta's been stopped twice in the first round. His last two losses were first-round stoppages.
Yeah.
It's going to go one way or the other.
It is.
Motta's either going to wreck him with heavy hands, or he's going to run straight into a takedown or just some kind of neck attack. Like Van Camp's guillotines in that first round are going to be real dangerous.
I'm going Van Camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go the opposite way. Yeah, I really don't have an opinion on this because
it's tough, isn't it? I don't know a massive amount about either of them, really.
It's difficult to compare them with anybody based on their opponents being a bit of an unknown. I mean, I would say Van Camp's probably had better competition based on the couple of names on his record that I know.
Mm.
But Motta's power is a deciding factor. And I think his power was undersold against Lowry because of how tough Lowry was.
Right.
Kind of like with Saruki and Makachev.
Put a normal person in there, see what happens.
Yeah, they'd have just folded.
Yeah.
They would have folded.
Yeah, got you. All right.
Okay.
Kutalaba and Clark.
Which way? You're going Van Camp?
Going Van Camp,
I'll go Motta then for fun.
Okay.
Just for shits and giggles.
Devin
Clark against Iwan Kutalaba.
Yeah.
Shall I tell you exactly what's going to happen?
Go on, tell me.
Iwan Kutalaba is going to come out. He's going to walk Devin Clark down. Devin Clark's going to be running around the edge of the fence like he's fucking terrified to be in there. And Iwan Kutalaba is going to put it on him until the referee stops it.
Right.
And if Devin Clark has the foresight, he'll jump into a guillotine to get himself out of there. He hates pressure.
Right.
He hates pressure. He doesn't like fighting.
Kutalaba's going to bring some pressure.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the big difference between these two. I would say if you could take Iwan Kutalaba's mentality and put it in Devin Clark, you've got a potential champion.
Yeah.
But Devin Clark doesn't have the mindset to... If you could take Devin Clark's dad's mentality out of his corner, you heard his dad screaming in the corner. Like, who was it he tapped to? Ryan Spann in the main event. He got subbed with a guillotine and his dad was losing his shit.
Right.
Like, as Ryan Spann celebrating, his dad's in the background going, "What the fucking blah, 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 what about fuck?" And you could just hear him like ranting in the background. And it's not like it wasn't a good rant. It was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, he was running away. Yeah. He was turning his back. I've not seen Ryan.
The only way he can win it is by running away for about 7 minutes.
And then level changing.
And then levels, because Kutalaba ain't any more than 7 minutes.
Yeah, no.
If he can, he just go on a 7 minute jog for a bit, just try and stay out of danger, and Kutalaba undoubtedly will gas out. But it's probably not going to go that way, is it? I like watching Kutalaba. He's like a movie character, and he's like a head of the cartel in a narco show. And he comes out.
He's not the head of anything, I don't think.
Well, maybe the chief bodyguard.
Yeah. He's one of the guys that you send in to do a job. I like his style. It's thuggish. It's not particularly considered. He don't like any of his opponents. He's always screaming at them at the face-offs, at the weigh-ins and stuff, and like trying to get that psychological advantage all the time. Yeah. But he's always that guy.
He was excellent in the Jacoby fight.
Yeah.
Like Derek Jacoby, who's grown on me more and more the more I watch him, I'm just like, oh, shit, you're bringing something a little bit different. You know, it's not necessarily pretty, but it's very, very effective. I thought, you know, the thing I liked about Jacoby was he knew what I had to do. He just had to keep repeat. He had to repeat more than Kutalaba can repeat.
Yeah.
And he just kept going, got dragged down, didn't he? And then he just dragged himself to the cage, went through his process, got up. Then he got ragged down to the floor again. And then he got to the cage and went through his process and got up. And eventually Kutalaba blew a gasket, didn't he?
Yeah. It was a split draw, that one, though.
Yeah.
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 But it was, that's the thing, is like, you put Devin Clark in that kind of scenario, and I think he's got the physicality, and I think he's got the skills to do it, but I don't think he's got the mindset to apply it.
That is one of the most exhausting things you can do in the sport, is to be constantly tucked down and then know that you know what you got to do. You got to drag yourself to the fence again. You got to go through your process, and then it happens all over again, and you just hold in your breath. Well, don't hold your breath; it'd be even worse. But you know,
I mean, the thing is, if you look at their record, like if you look at who Iwan Kutalaba's lost to.
Mm.
He's got two losses to Ankalaev. The first one was weird because he was strange.
He
just shouldn't have been stopped. He was on his feet. He was playing possum. Anyway, and the other one was, Glover Teixeira. You know, I mean, you know, we keep going back. We're going Jared Cannonier, Serkanov. But then you look at the guys that he's beaten. You know, he's beaten those middle-of-the-road guys, the Antigolovs and Roundtrees and those kind of people. But then you look at Devin Clark's record and you're like, okay, well, I mean, he's... Like, who's he losing to? Anthony Smith, Ryan Spann, both the main eventers. Rakic, top five. Jan, champion. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's only losing to good guys. And the guys that he's beating, he's taking them down and he's mauling them. Or he's out-athleting them.
There's going to be some scrambles, isn't there? I think there'll be some scrambles in it.
I think if Kutalaba can keep the fight moving for the first round and a half, he'll break Devon Clark psychologically. Yeah. He'll have him running. But I think if Clark's able to get ahead and feel like he can ground Kutalaba when he wants, he's got that safety blanket that he's going, okay, whenever he's pressuring me, as long as I can get underneath and put him on the floor and, okay, I'm safe for the rest of the round. He just don't like fighting. I can just tell. It pisses me off when I watch him.
A few things that get you more irate than watching someone that doesn't like it.
Like whenever you see someone like run away and turn their back into the fence and cover their head, like just stop the fight. Like go and do, I think he wants to do bobsled or something. Go and crack on with that. You know, he does. I think that's what he says. I think that's one thing he wants to do. And he wants to deadlift 1,000 pounds. And he wants to compete in bobsled. Yeah. These are like bucket list things.
Yeah.
I think it's time to move on to the next one on the bucket list.
Yeah. Get on the sled.
Devon Clark should win. Devon Clark should win.
Reckon.
Yeah.
You don't think he will?
But I don't think he will.
Yeah, I don't
think he will. Ewan Kutalaba's got too much intensity.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wicked.
Yeah, nice. Main event.
Yeah, main event.
The main event, yeah.
Yeah, I've done a war room for this, so I'll let you have a little...
Is it up?
No, it's not. Jamie's working on it right now. Oh, look at him. Look at him beavering away in the corner. But I've got my notes here.
Oh, nice.
They're the notes, not the bottom.
I don't think Ryan Spann is anywhere close to the... I don't think Ryan Spann is anywhere close... close to the martial artist that Anthony Smith is?
No,
not at all. And in terms of sort of the understanding of the sports and the breadth and the depth of the techniques that he can utilize, but he does it heavy. It's really heavy. He rattled Serkanov. He rattled Johnny Walker before Johnny Walker twice. Before Johnny Walker put 50 elbows down through the side of his head.
He's got a wicked jab as well.
I just don't think he's fought the level that Smith's fought at all. But he does hit hard. He really does hit hard. Yeah.
Reach and height advantage.
Yeah. By no means do I think Spann should win this fight. I think Anthony Smith should win the fight. The only thing is Smith seems... He seems in a bad spot. I'm not sure where he's at, whether he's... chronic overthinker of the sport or what, because he seems like, I like listening to him talk about the sport, like he seems to have a real good cognitive grasp of what's going on, but I don't know whether up in his own head a little bit. He got beaten up by Ratchets, didn't he, a while ago? Yeah, he got finished by Glover.
But he got beaten up against Rakic because he stopped working.
Yeah, but that got beaten into him, didn't it?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I talk about it obviously a bit more in depth in the war room. But of all the people that I've interviewed Fight Week, Anthony Smith is the one that stood out to me. Mm. There are a few. I forgot his name. Don't matter, it'll come back to me. Mm. Like, there are a few that have stood out, and he was one of them. Machnell, he's another one that stood out to me. He's like, oh, this guy's fucking really calculated. Mark Madsen as well, Marco Madsen.
Yeah, yeah.
Similar kind of thing. Like, shows up, knows exactly what is happening. Yeah. You know, it's in very... Mark Madsen, I expected it from. Frivola kind of surprised me. Anthony Smith really surprised me.
Mm.
Because the way he fights and the way he speaks, it doesn't seem like the same person.
Yeah.
Like there's a much higher calculation, kind of probably a bit like me, to be honest. Like, my brain's better than my physical talents, you know, my skills. I think that's what we're seeing now. He's transitioned over doing some desk work and that kind of stuff. Like, he is a sharp dude. He is a deep thinker.
Mm.
And I think people underestimate him because of his appearance, because he looks like a hard nut, you know what I mean?
It's like a doorman.
He does. But then if you get into his backstory and how he got into MMA, like, he took his first MMA fight on an hour's notice.
Yeah.
Like, he'd gone to this event that he'd seen on a flyer at a Subway and got a couple of mates together, and they went over and they asked for someone to step in, and he put his arm up. And like, that fear that he got on that day is what he's been looking for since.
Yeah.
And all the way through his career, he's expected that person to give him that to be John Jones. And then when that didn't happen, it's like, I don't know. It almost feels like, where do I go now?
Yeah.
It almost feels a bit like he's kind of lost his purpose.
It seems in flux.
Yeah.
It seems something's like he's not sure where the journey's supposed to go, man. Or whatever.
Same thing happened to Darren Till.
Protecting his teeth.
It's the new teeth thing, man. If you're a new fighter, I'm still ready to fight. You can tell that because my teeth are still fucked up.
Absolutely, I think he can come in, and if he's smart, he will put Ryan on his back and beat him up.
Yeah.
And he'll win the fight. And
he came out and took Devin Clark down straight away.
Yeah.
Devin Clark's a good wrestler.
I think he must play that high percentage game. He must get back winning.
Mm.
And he can do that. He can do that quite easy. If he chooses to stand and try and make a point with Ryan, he's just opening up the percentages that he can get caught. And Ryan has very heavy hands, and like he clips people and they go down.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what he does. It's a winnable fight for him. There's a clear path for him to win it. He needs to have the emotional and tactical control to go and do the job. He should definitely win that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I've felt the same about the majority of his fights.
Yeah.
Like that Jimmy Crute fight, you got to think that low kick that he landed. If he lands that on Span, that's going to really slow down his movement, his forward progress. And Span, he is tall. He stands tall. He stands heavy on that lead leg. That lead leg's almost straight sometimes when he's standing. But that's partly why he's got such a good jab.
Loads it heavy, doesn't he? He seems like he's waiting just for a twitch so he can unload the power.
Mm. The smart thing here is for Anthony Smith to kind of hang back, wait for a minute, land a power low kick, feint high, set himself up,
bang,
in on the waist because Span's tall. It'd be easy to get in on those hips, dump him on the floor, and then maul him for the first round. Beat him up. He might be able to finish him with a rear naked choke. I can see Anthony Smith taking him down, taking his back and subbing him.
Yeah.
But then there's always that point where Smith, he goes, first round, he looks really strong. He looks like he's coming to get it. Second round, he looks all right. And then third round, he kind of loses interest.
He's bored now.
He did it. I remember when, I think I called his fight against Volkan Özdemir. And he broke Özdemir's nose in the first round and then just kind of went, okay, I'll just... It was like he was waiting for him to bleed out. It was funny, weird.
It's funny though, we'd have touched on it, but what's tough? What's the definition of sort of tough? Tough is being disciplined, sticking to the job. Yeah, you might be bored, but that's not the point. Tough it out and go get the finish.
Yeah.
You know, you've done the hard work, go finish it off. He can contribute to this sport, and I think he should go and do the job. Go and get it done.
Absolutely, sure.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, we were talking about this before we started recording, but after watching the boys yesterday working against the fence and doing their wall grappling, and then watching Anthony Smith in his last couple of in his fight against Rakic and Glover, like that's the bit he's missing.
Mm.
You know, he's got the will, he's got the intention. I think if he's got some paths that can get him out of those situations, then he's going to be far more effective. It's not like he doesn't have the physicality to do it. I mean, he's 6'4".
Yeah, he's a beast.
He's a big, strong motherfucker. Yeah. He's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu already.
Yeah.
You know? He needs that glue
transition
that holds it
part.
All together.
Transition paths.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to do this, man. He needs to get this done.
I mean, he's on a 2-fight winning streak, but he's not proving a lot by beating Devin Clark and Jimmy Crute. And he's not proving a great deal by beating Ryan Spann. This is not the group of fighters that he wants to be in amongst.
No. But
he
it's a good reset trio. Like,
well, he's
if
needed
he beats
it.
All three of them, resets, tries to get himself out of flux, finds what he's missing, and then, you know, make another assault on the top.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to sit back, don't you, and just accumulate some wins, get some confidence back. And
yeah.
I mean, who knows? Like, we're projecting a lot of stuff onto someone I've never met, do you know what I mean? So who knows where he's at?
Yeah.
No idea.
No, absolutely. No, you're right. I mean, this is only based on obviously what we're seeing. But I know what he's capable of. I know what I expect of him. And sometimes I feel like he just stops working. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah, sometimes you take a good shot and it can rattle you for a bit. But there are times when he's not hurt and he's not working.
Yeah.
Like against Rakic, he didn't need to be on the floor for a good chunk of that time. Against Özdemir, it was the same thing. You know,
he's ranked sixth. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not that far away.
But then you look at who
people
he's fighting.
People above him is rough, isn't it?
Yeah, but look at who he's fighting. Like he's fighting number 11. He's fighting Like he's fighting guys that are either unranked or ranked below him.
Has he fought Dominic Reyes?
No, he's not Fort Reyes.
Seems like a logical...
Yeah, it does.
Seems logical at some point, doesn't it?
But then, you know, if he doesn't win this, then he's not going to be looking up. He's going to be looking down. And then you've got Ankalaev. You've got, you know, I mean, a rematch with, Paul Craig's on his way up.
Yeah.
Rematch with Uzdemir. He needs to win this fight to keep himself in title conversations, I think.
He's
on his way back now. But this fight could just kind of cruise away from him if he lets Ryan Spann hold the center and jab his face off. And then he gets frozen up and then he kind of hangs back. He needs the fear in him. That's what he needs. Like when he fought Gustafsson, there was some fear in that.
Yeah.
Like he was like, I'm fighting Gustafsson in Stockholm.
Yeah.
Like this guy's coming for me. And fourth round triangled him, didn't he?
Whatever gland releases adrenaline, he needs to get it checked. Because if you can't get an adrenaline dump at this level of this sport, the fuck?
Yeah. But then do you? Like, you know, like I'm... How intimidating is Ryan Spann compared to John Jones? And he wasn't intimidated by John Jones. That was the problem. I think he was expecting to be.
He said that, but he looked it.
Do you think he did?
He froze a lot of the time, didn't he? And it might manifest in slightly different ways. He might not be thinking to himself, "I'm scared of him," but he didn't do a lot, did he? Do you know what I mean? He got shut down pretty much.
He did, but I don't know. I didn't get the feeling that he felt like he was getting beaten up.
Yeah.
I think it got to the end of the fight and he was like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Can we go again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Yeah. Exactly that.
Well, if he wants another shot, he's got
he needs to go up in weight class.
He's going to have to go up now, isn't he? You've seen John
Mate,
pictures.
He looks fucking huge, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monstrous.
Yeah, I saw something that BT Sport posted today about Brock Lesnar. And it was like, if aliens landed and one human had to go and fight, it'd be Brock Lesnar. I'm like, no,
would
it wouldn't.
Fuck.
And give you a top five that go ahead of Brock Lesnar.
Fuck.
And Brock Lesnar would shit his pants at that top five.
Way.
Like, can you imagine Ngannou running at Brock Lesnar?
Yeah. No thanks.
Imagine John Jones.
No thanks.
Picking him apart with elbows and knees.
Nah. Even if he caught a glimpse of over him after that liver kick from back in the day.
Yeah.
Be like, oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
Oh, that was brutal, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? So he's up soon on the glory card.
Oh, yeah.
So 78. Oh, what are they calling it?
79.
No, but it's Collision 3. Is it Collision 3?
Collision 3, I don't know.
I think so. I should know
this. Glory 79. You should know this.
I should know this. I'm all about glory at the minute after that fight card.
You are, aren't you?
All about it.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
We've got loads coming up, though. There's loads coming up.
Collision 3, Glory Collision 3, Verhoeven versus Overeem. October 23.
Love
Wicked.
It.
It's going to be very cool.
I'll do a war room on that.
Yeah, we'll do a fair bit of stuff. We'll get V to do the preview videos again.
Yeah,
they're cool.
For sure.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So which way are you going? Smith?
Yeah, 100% Smith, yeah.
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 Got to.
I think so. I want it for him. I want him.
Mm.
I want him to get
I like that. Him up in the mix.
Yeah.
He's a good voice as well, you know. He's a good voice. He's a smart dude. I want him up in that mix for sure.
Definitely.
Likeable guy. Not that Ryan Spann's not, absolutely, but, you know, I mean, you look at their records, 35 and 16 compared to 19 and 6.
Mm.
Here's an interesting one for you, because they've both been middleweights, but Ryan Spann was like middleweight, light heavyweight, and he kept alternating on the way up. Smith was all middleweight, and then bang, switched. So Ryan Spann's middleweight record is 8-4, but as a light heavyweight, he's 11-2.
Okay.
Anthony Smith is only 6-3 as a light heavyweight, nine fights. So Spann's light heavyweight record's actually better, you know, like numbers wise. But his middleweight record is 29-13.
Jeez.
That's mad, isn't it? Yeah. He had a whole career as a middleweight. Like 29-13.
Retire at that, massive, and you can look, it's a decent run, isn't it?
Legend.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just getting started. That was my middleweight bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair dues. Nice.
Wicked.
Go check out fullreptile.co.uk.
Yep.
And please, if you're in the US, please support our sponsors, C4. If you use the code FULLREPTILE, you get 30% off your order.
Nice.
All good.
Wicked.
Next week is a numbered event, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I've got two more war rooms to do. I've got Shevchenko and Murphy, and I'm going to do a Diaz-Lawler as well.
Of course you are.
And this weekend, the Romero-Davis, I'm going to try and get a war room done for that.
Yeah.
But I might run out of time this week. But I'm going to do that, the Brave co-main, Makhachev against the Driscoll. That looks like it's going to be a good scrap.
Yeah, that'd be good. 3 weeks away, I think that is the Brave event.
Yeah. Oh, and the new the next ONE Championship card. Yeah. All kickboxers. I'll do a preview of that as well. There's loads coming up, loads going on.
Yeah. And you reviewed the atomweight division.
I did. Right?
That's gone up yesterday.
That went up yesterday.
Yeah. Check that out.
Yeah.
Nice review of the ONE atomweight division.
Very nice.
Cool. Wicked.
All right.
Nice one, bro.
See you next time. Thanks, everybody.